So we'll be turning to Genesis chapter 6, and we're two scriptures this morning. If you'll find your place in Genesis chapter 6 and put a bookmark there, and we'll be turning to Matthew's gospel. So find Genesis chapter 6 first. That shouldn't be too hard to find right there, a few pages into your Bible, and then turn over to Matthew's gospel, chapter 24. We'll begin in Matthew. So if you'll put a bookmark in Genesis 6 and turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Amen. And the Lord laid this thought upon my heart, it's a needed message in these days. And let me just say, some of you was not able to be with us Friday night. And I told my dad, I said, if it's all right, I'm going to leave this church up here just so y'all can get a visual, because I gave him a visual illustration Friday night. And some of you might have listened on the radio and might not have been able to be here in person, but now you can see the visual. And let me just say this about this church right here. We've got a funnel on one side and there's a straw on the other side. And I said, which side of the church are you on? You're either on one side or the other. I don't think you can straddle the fence on this. I think you have to be on one side or the other. And the good thing about it is that I failed to mention Friday night, the funnel side has a bigger opening when you can put something into the funnel. And that's because we're expecting more people to be on the funnel side. Hopefully there's more people on the funnel side funneling things in. That's the opportunity, is for more people to be on that funnel side. But I'm not going to preach that message again. I just wanted to give you that visual in case you wasn't here Friday night. You can see the church there, and I believe we ought to put into the church. We shouldn't be draining the church from that straw. And that was the message on Friday night. But the message this morning is here about the last days, and it talks about in the days of Noah and here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 37. Verse number 37, the Bible says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage," if I can turn my page here, and I believe it says until the day. Amen. Is that not right? "They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until the day that the flood came, and knew not, and no, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Notice verse 39, "and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so look at verse number 38 again there. It says, and it talks about in verse 37, "so also shall the days of the Son of Man be," the coming of the Son of Man be. So it tells you in those days, what were they doing? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, eating and drinking is not wrong. We're getting ready to do that as long as you're drinking the right stuff. You're eating. We're getting ready to eat back here. Eating and drinking is not wrong. Getting married is not wrong. Giving in marriage, that's a natural thing, the process. But here's the idea that I think behind this is it says they were doing these things. They were living their normal day life. That's what we do every day is eat and drink. We do that every day. And they were just living their life. They were getting married. They were having children. They were, you know, just the process of life. But it says they were doing these things until the day that Noah entered the flood. And verse 39, into the ark, I'm sorry, and verse 39 says, "and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let's read verse 40. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the goodman of the house had, if he had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Verse 44, I'll finish reading here. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Amen. So the Lord is coming, and I believe it's coming soon. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all your blessings upon us this day. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come into your house. And God, I pray you'd help us not to take this lightly. Lord, we never know when this day is going to come, when you'll catch us away and we'll be with you forevermore. And Lord, we say even so, come Lord Jesus. But Lord, I'm afraid there's those amongst us that may not be ready for your coming. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to get it right this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help them, that they would have their heart convicted by your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that they would be drawn unto you as Lord and Savior and see you high and lifted up. Lord, I pray that you would help them to accept you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Very familiar scripture here, but I'm telling you, I do believe, and I think we should take each day as a day that this could be our last. Amen. This could be the last time you ever worship in the house of God. This could be the last Sunday morning that you got up, get ready for church, and bring your family. And so let's take it seriously this morning, that we have the opportunity right now. We get the opportunity to get into God's Word and read, and we got an opportunity to do something with the Word of God this morning. So let's pay close attention this morning, and I believe the Lord has something for us this morning. But my thought here this morning is, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so I believe we're in those days. I believe we can look around and see that we're in those days, that people are going about their everyday life. They're just living, thinking as if there's no tomorrow, that as if there is a tomorrow, and that is as if they've got promise tomorrow. But the Bible says we have no promise of tomorrow. Amen. And so we have no definite promise. We only have today. And so the Lord could come back, and it's an hour that we think not. But I want to get into the, dive into this. Noah, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. So how was it in the days of Noah? Let's flip back over to Genesis chapter 6 now, if you got your bookmark there. Genesis chapter 6, and we'll find out some things it was in the days of Noah, and I believe it's that way today. Let's begin reading in verse number 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, and the Bible says, let's see here, and the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Well, that sounds like today, don't it? I believe if the Lord looks down from heaven today and looks at the earth, he can see a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of wickedness going on. Let's continue reading verse 5. And the Lord God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, let me just pause right there and say this. We've got this. I believe we're in these days, these days of Noah. And it says that every imagination of their thoughts was of their hearts was only evil continually. And notice then it says it repented the Lord that he had even made man. He said, I'm just going to destroy it, just wipe it clean and try to start all over again. Amen. And we know that after the flood, God gave us the promise that he'll never destroy it with water again. But the Lord still, I believe, looks down from heaven and he sees Brother Jacob. He'll look down, Brother Troy. He sees the sin that is going on in our nation right now. Amen. And I really think that he's looking down and he sees the hearts. He can see the hearts of man, and he sees their evil imaginations, just like in the days of Noah. So here's my thought. Here's my title. We are in the days of Noah. We already know that. So here's my title is, where are the Noahs in the days of Noah? Amen. Because Noah lived a just life. Noah lived a righteous life. Amen. We need some Noahs in these days of Noah. God help us to be like Noah. And so we're going to dive in here and find out some things. And I believe the Lord's return is at hand. I believe the judgment of God, as he looked down upon the earth and he saw the evil in our land, I believe just like it did in those days, I believe it grieves him in his heart. And he says, I'm just going to wipe out the whole nation and the whole world and start all over. That's what he did in Genesis. But I believe now he's looking, and I believe it's just about time. He's going to call the saints home. Amen. I believe it won't be long. And I believe if you're not right with the Lord, if you don't know that, back in Matthew, it tells you there are two in the field. One will be taken and the other left. That tells me not everybody's going. Amen. Matter of fact, probably the majority is not going. I'm talking about as a whole in our world, because it says one should be taken and the other left. And then again, the two women in the field, there are two men in the field. And then it talks about, at one point it says two men in the bed, one will be taken and the other left. So, that's about 50%. But anyway, there's a lot going to be left is my point. There's a lot going to be left and there's some of us going to be gone. And I trust and pray we're in the crowd that's going to be gone. I know I am. Amen. You gotta make that. It's a personal thing. Amen. A personal salvation there. But let's jump in here. I don't want to ramble on here. Let's look at point number one. Let's see how we're going to make it. Here's my thought. How are we going to make it out if, like Noah did? Noah made it out of that judgment. He got on the ark. Amen. So the first thing is found in verse number 8. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. After it tells how wicked the world was, how evil the man's heart and his imaginations was, then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So there's a positive to that. And Noah found grace. So how did Noah find grace? I think, first of all, he was focused on God. Because he looked into the eyes of the Lord and he found grace. You're not going to find grace looking around at the evil around you. You're not going to find grace if you're out here fellowshipping with the world. Amen. You're going to have to find grace getting your focus back on the Lord. So first of all, I see if we're going to be a Noah in these days of Noah, we're going to have to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to have our focus on God. Amen. And so I'll say this. God's grace. You say, well, how was God's grace shown to Noah? And if you get this, get nothing else here. I think this blessed me whenever I came across this. And let me say this, no matter how the world is, how evil the world is around you, you can focus on God. Amen. You can in your heart say, I'm going to find grace in the eyes of God. But if we look at Noah's life, and actually my dad told me yesterday, I was helping on the marathon, and I told him, I'm going to go study for a few minutes. And he said, you just use my office. Well, I walked in the office. I already knew what I was going to preach. I just had to get my thoughts together. And I walked into the office, and there lay on one of his desks there was a genealogy of from Adam to Abraham, or maybe from Adam to Joseph. That's what it was. And it had, and you can look in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11. It gives the genealogy of these. And a lot of times we read through that and it's boring to us because there's names we've never heard of and there's long names and stuff like that. But if you really study it out, it's not boring. And when you look at that, it's pretty amazing. They lived such long lifespans. Noah lived for 950 years. That's just hard for us to imagine, 950 years. But Noah lived that long. And some neat things to think about is when Noah was born, his early life, he could have known. I don't know if he did or not. We don't know. But he could have known Enos, which was the third generation of after Adam. He was Adam, and then there was Seth, and then Seth's son was Enos. So that was Noah's, I think it was Noah's great-great-great-great-great-grandpa that he could have known. And that's pretty neat that you could gain knowledge from your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. I mean, you think about it, he could have went to his great-grandpa's house and said, how are you doing today? He said, well, I just got off the phone with my great-great-grandpa, and that's amazing. But Noah lived such a long life, and he was blessed to see those generations before him. But not only that, he was blessed after the flood to see 10 generations. I mean, could you imagine 10 generations? So Noah was still alive. He was an old man, but he was alive when Abraham was born. And that's kind of amazing, because then you think about Abraham and Lot. Here's my thought. When Abraham was talking to Lot, he could have said, well, you know, I talked to Noah whenever he told me about God destroying the earth in the flood because of sin. And Abraham was warning Lot about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and saying, look, Lot, you better straighten up because, God's getting ready to turn his wrath upon you. Amen. I'm just speculating there, but that's kind of fun to speculate a little bit. But it is true that Noah lived to see all the way from Enos, which was when the Bible talks about Enos, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And then you see down through time, Noah's grandfather was Enoch, not Enos, but Enoch. And Enoch was the man that walked with God and the Lord took him. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. But let me tell you this. This is what I was getting at. The grace of God in the life of Noah. We can find God's grace just as Noah did. And I'm going to show you God's grace was not just for Noah. It was for whosoever will. And it still is. Look at this. Noah's grandfather was Enoch. I told you that. And Enoch walked with God. And let me make sure I'm getting that right, because I don't want to tell you wrong. Back in chapter 5, let's look at verse number 20, 21. The Bible says in Genesis 5, 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Okay, Methuselah was Noah's grandpa. Enoch was Noah's great-grandpa. And so, but anyway, Methuselah, and then we see in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was translated up into heaven. And verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Lamech, there was Noah's dad. And so then verse 26, and Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Now, most of us have heard the name Methuselah because we know he was the oldest man in the Bible recorded. He lived 969 years. Well, then, verse 28, Lamech lived 82 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, again, that sounds boring sometimes when we read that, but here's the grace of God in that. Methuselah, if you break it down, his name comes from two root words. The first one is Muth, which means death. The last part of his name comes from the root word Shelah, which means to bring or to send forth. And so his name literally could have meant his death shall bring it. Or when he dies, it shall come. Now you think about Methuselah was the son of Enoch, which walked with God. And I'm speculating here, but I like to speculate and think about this. Enoch, back in those days, they didn't just name a son to be naming a son a certain name. They didn't just call his name Ben because they liked the name. They called him a name that had a meaning to it. And I believe Enoch, as he walked with God, the Lord gave him a vision told him verbally, he could have said, look, I'm going to destroy the earth one day. This evil is getting, out of control. And Enoch could have talked with God as he walked with God. God could have gave him that knowledge and he gave his son the name Methuselah, meaning when he dies, it shall come to pass. And if you go through and look, you can trace it down to the very year that the flood came. And Methuselah lived 969 years, and in the very year that he died, the flood came. So that shows me the grace of God. You say, how is that showing the grace of God? Because God said, this man, when he is born, his name is going to be called Methuselah. And the day he dies, or the year that he dies, is the year that I'm going to destroy the earth, and my long suffering is going to be over. And I'm just saying that could have been. And because it's very ironic to me, his name means his death shall bring. And then the year that he died, the flood came. So my thought is this, every day of Methuselah's life was another grace, a day of grace for those people. Noah was there preaching to them saying, you need to get aboard this ark. Judgment is coming. You need to turn to the Lord. Judgment is coming. And the people laughed and scoffed at him just like they do today. But Noah kept preaching, and as long as Methuselah was alive, God was giving them an extra day of mercy, an extra day of grace, and he allowed him to live longer than anybody else had ever lived, just so that people had a chance to get on there. That's just how long-suffering our God is. Amen. So thank God for his grace. First of all, if we're going to be a Noah in these days, we're going to have to focus on the Lord. But not only that, we're going to have to fellowship with the Lord. Noah walked with God. Brother Philip mentioned it in the Sunday school this morning. Look at Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. I already talked about Enoch walking with God. And Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. So I believe in looking at that genealogy, Noah was not born before God translated Enoch. But Noah heard the stories, no doubt, from Methuselah and from his dad, Lamech. And he walked with God, and they passed that down. That's my thing this morning is you have a generation following you, and it's us, up to us as dads, it's up to us as fathers to walk with God and to see our next generation walk with God. Even in these days that we're living in of Noah, these days of evil, these days when we look around and it seems like every man's heart is only, the imagination of their heart is only evil continually. And I believe we have the same opportunity as Noah did to fellowship with God. It's a daily walk with God. Amen. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a daily walk with God. Paul said, I die daily. We have to die to this. We still have this fleshly body. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect in this life. Brother Josh mentioned that. We'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. But the Lord has called us to strive for that. We have been called to be holy just as He is holy. And that's this Christian life. We're supposed to look more like Him as we get older, as we grow, as we're supposed to try to be more like Christ. He is our Heavenly Father, and it's only natural to be like your Father. People tell me all the time, you remind me of your dad. And he's not here, so I can say that. I mean, he's listening though. And so I do take it as a compliment. Amen. I told somebody, I said, hey, have I gained that much weight? I'm just kidding. No, don't tell him I said that. He's listening to me. I know. I love you, Dad. But anyway, but we look like, my point is, the older I get, the more I look like my dad. You know, but then, and my mom too. Amen. Everybody says I have my mom's eyes because everybody else in my family has brown eyes. Amen. But the point is, it's natural. That's a natural thing. The Lord is our Heavenly Father. And if we're one of His, we should be more and more like Him as we get older. Amen. And so we should want to have that daily fellowship. Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So I've got one more point here in my introduction, and then I'll get to the message. Amen. So first of all, we must focus on the Lord. We must fellowship with God. And then also we must follow the Word of God. And you say, well, how does Noah follow the Word of God? Look at the last verse of chapter 6, verse 22. After the Lord told Noah all these things, and He told him how to build the ark. And Noah was not a young man when the Lord came to him and told him to build the ark. You know, and Noah could have said, well, Lord, I'm already 500 years old. Why don't you get a younger person to build this ark? I mean, that's kind of a job that a younger man should do. But the Lord told Noah to do it, and Noah just trusted God. He didn't make any excuses. Look at verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Now jump down to chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all, not some. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So I'm just saying here, it says it twice, that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him to do. And so are we doing all that God has commanded us to do this morning? You may say, well, I'm too old to do anything. Well, Noah was 500 years old and he still built the ark. Amen. So he trusted God even in the evil day, and he followed the Lord. You can serve God and live a life following the Lord even in this evil day. Amen. No doubt there was mockers and scoffers at him saying, what are you doing building this ark? You know, they had never seen rain before, but yeah, he kept hammering away and he kept building this place of safety. So here's my message. Now I've got three points in my outline here, and I'll be quick, be brief, and we'll be done. But I want us to think about this. How can we be like Noah in these days of Noah? First of all, Noah made his preparation short. He knew, he made his way of escape. And let me say it that way. The Lord told him to prepare that ark. And in Matthew chapter 24, where we started, and verse number 38, it tells us that let's look at verse 39. It says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the last part of verse 38, it said, and Noah entered into the ark. So Noah made it into the ark, and he got his family on board the ark. So he made his preparation sure. And I'm just going to say this morning. You should have a time and a place in your life that you have nailed it down and said, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Because we've got this world, like we say, we're living in this world of evil, And if we don't have that peace of God in our heart, if we can't take the devil back to an altar and to a, or a time in our life, it don't have to be at church. It could have been in your car riding down the road. It could have been beside your bed. But if you don't have a time and a place in your heart that you know you made things right with the Lord, then I'm sorry to tell you. But if your faith is in anything other than the Lord and His blood shed, then you're not making it in. Amen. You'll not make it through the judgment. There were several that they said, you know, I'll find if it does rain, if it does come a flood, I think I could probably whittle me out a boat out of a piece of wood and kind of just small enough to make myself, you know, float. They probably thought that. They said, I think I'll just make, you know, what are you doing it that way for? I think you should do it this way. I'll make me a better boat. Some of them might have said, they might have said, well, I'll just, you know, I think I'm a good climber. I'll just climb a tree and get away from the water. You know, they had their own ways to try to get about it. And that might sound funny to you, but there's people that they say, well, I know judgment's coming. I know that the day of the Lord is at hand. I know that the Lord said He's coming back. And I've not really placed my trust in Him, but I'm going to make it on my own good deeds. That's just as silly as saying, I'm going to climb a tree and get away from this flood. Amen. So God help us to make our preparations sure this morning. Amen. And look at Hebrews. Well, you don't have to turn there. We all know this scripture. Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. No matter if you're 30 years old this morning or if you're 100 years old, you have an appointment. I don't know when your appointment is. You don't know when your appointment is. Amen. I've seen several obituaries in the last few weeks of people younger than I am. And I just turned 30 last week. And there's people younger than I am that have died and went into eternity. And they had an appointment with God. And they met their appointment. A lot of times we'll have an appointment set up on our calendar for a doctor. We have an appointment for go see the dentist. And, you know, we might say, well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better. I think I'll just postpone that appointment. Or we'll say, you know, I'm just going to cancel that appointment. This appointment you cannot postpone. You cannot cancel. Amen. Your appointment is coming. And only the Lord knows your appointment. But He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Nobody wants to talk about the judgment anymore. Amen. Back in Noah's day, no doubt, they didn't want to hear about the judgment. They was tired of hearing about the judgment. They probably said, you've already told us your stories, you know. I was thinking about Lot and Abraham whenever I said Abraham could have talked to Noah. And if that were the case, you know, Lot could have said, you know, Abraham, I know what you said about what happened with Noah, but I just don't think it's going to happen to me. You know, you've been saying that for 400 years, you know, but yeah, it was true. Amen. And it came to pass. Amen. And so, Noah was preaching, and I don't know, you know, how long it was. There's some debate about that, building the ark, but all I know is he was consistent. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, let's turn there, 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'll be done briefly here. It's early yet. It's 12. It's actually, if you go by my watch, it's 1:08, but going by y'all's time, it's 12:08. So I think that had me Friday night. I was thinking I was keeping y'all really late, but I was still on North Carolina time. Amen. But in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and then I'm going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20. But in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 5 here, if I find my place here, the Bible says here in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in of the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So the Lord spared Noah, and the Bible says he was the eighth person. There was eight people on that ark, eight souls. Now that number eight in the Bible means, in the numerology there, it's talking about a new beginning. And so there was eight people on the earth in that new beginning when the Lord started it all over. But notice it said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And a lot of times people get offended at us nowadays. They say, all you want to preach on is righteousness. Well, that's what Noah was preaching on, was righteousness. Amen. And he was pointing others to the Savior. Amen. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Now, I talked to you earlier about the long suffering of God, about the life of Methuselah, and this kind of just goes right along with that. It says, when they were disobedient, it said, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And so I believe that's true. I believe God said, I'm going to give you some extra time here to get right. God is a God of grace. He's a God of love, and he's a God of compassion. Amen. But let me say this. You have to make your preparation sure. Noah made his preparation sure. And then secondly, Noah, he pointed others to safety. And that's what I'm talking about here. He was a preacher of righteousness. He pointed others to safety. He said, get upon the ark because judgment is coming. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. If you're here lost this morning, if you don't have a time in your heart that you know you can take the devil back to, and you can say, look, right here's where I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And let me say again, it's not nothing that I've done. It's not my good works. It's nothing that I could have done, but it's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He done it all. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. The Bible says that it is a free gift, and all we have to do is to accept that gift of salvation. Amen. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was pointing others to safety. Now think about this with me for just a minute. That door in the ark, there was only one door. And that's a good illustration. There's only one door into heaven. There was one door into the ark, there's one door into heaven. That door is Jesus. But when Noah was building the ark, the Lord gave him the dimensions of how big and how wide to make everything. I mean, you go through there, so many cubits high, so many cubits wide. But when he came to the dimensions of the door, he didn't say anything about how wide to make it. He just said, I want you to put a door in there. And so it could have been so wide. It could have been, I think he just left it wide enough where everybody, whosoever will, can come. Amen. And that's the gospel right there, is whosoever will shall come. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that door had to be tall enough for the elephant and the giraffe to walk in. Had to be wide enough for the elephant. And it had to be feasible enough for the little ant to crawl in and the stink bug. No, I don't think there's stink bugs back then. I think Noah would have stomped on the stink bug if there was a stink bug back then. But, you know, I think my point is the door of the ark was wide enough for whosoever will. And it was big enough but everybody had to come in the same way. You're not going to get to heaven any other way than through the door. Amen. You'll never get there any other way than trusting Jesus Christ. And then not only that, but lastly, Noah practiced a separated life. Look at Genesis chapter 7. If you're back in Genesis, turn with me, Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1. You say, how did he practice a separated life? Well, in a day that is so evil, when somebody's living for the Lord, it's going to stand out. Amen? Look at Genesis 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So I think about this. If the Lord could see that Noah was righteous, I believe the people around him could see that he was living a righteous life. Amen. He was trying to live pleasing to the Lord. And that's my challenge to us this evening, is to have our preparation sure, to point others to safety, and to practice a separated life. Amen. If we'll do those things, we can be like Noah was in these days of Noah. We can point others to say, you need to get on the ark before it's too late, because I think our time is drawing nigh. Our time is drawing short. Amen. And so let me just say this, Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10, we all know is by grace that you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But it does say, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. And the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We do not do our good works to be saved. We do our good works because we are saved. I just put it like this in our notes. Your separated life has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. But it is the fruit and the evidence of your salvation. Amen. And it may lead others to salvation. Noah lived a righteous life, and the Lord could see that he was living a righteous life, and I believe others could as well. But let's turn back to Matthew 24, and I will be done, I promise. This is the invitation right here, Matthew chapter 24, and verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I'll just ask you this. Are you ready? Are you on the ark this morning? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Amen. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 40, it says, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Maybe I'm just going to end it the way I started it out. Amen. The Lord is coming back. Are you ready for His coming? Have you made your preparations sure? Amen. I trust and pray that you have. And if you are saved, I trust and pray you're trying to point others to safety. Amen. Let's all stand. Miss Elizabeth, come to the piano. And I'd ask you this morning, do some soul searching. Amen. Let's get a song together, Brother Philip, if you don't mind. And while this invitation song is sung, I beg you to come to the altar and do some soul searching. Ask the Lord, am I living like Noah would live? And more than that, am I living pleasing to the Lord? I believe that's the question we should ask. But if you're here this morning and you've never made the Lord your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never stepped on that ark, I believe today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You have no promise of tomorrow. Amen. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. We are given today by God's grace, but we do not have the promise of tomorrow. You know not in the day the Lord doth come, but we know this, He is coming, and it's sooner now than it's ever been. Amen.